Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We've been talking about lighter stuff for most of the day. We started off more heavy, and we're going to talk some more about the United Healthcare CEO killing and this. It's what's disturbing is that there is merchandise now that is supportive of Luigi Mangione. And people are very concerned about the fact that it glorifies violence and a violent act.
Two things. One, I'm listening to some of the reporting this morning, and I'm like, I'm not saying things are predictable now, but in my head, I said, I'll bet we're going to start seeing shirts. And I'm like, that's crazy, though. Mm-hmm. And then in the same report, they said what you said.
Yeah.
They reported that.
Look, you can get almost anything on anything.
Sure.
You can make your own, but there's now T-shirts, hoodies. There's shot glasses, coffee mugs, basically referring to this accused murderer. Some of them have the words. They have Christmas ornaments. Think of this. With deny, defend, and depose, which were the words found on bullet shell casings at the murder scene. There are free Luigi stickers and coffee mugs and T-shirts. Now, some platforms are taking it down, saying it violates their rules, which would make sense. Etsy, they are an online platform where the deny, defend, depose ornament is listed for sale. USA Today has a story. They said Etsy did not respond to a request for comment. But there are online marketplaces that generally prohibit the sale of items that glorify violence. But I guess it doesn't extend to all of the related merchandise because what? If some of the statements aren't violent, is that what they're saying? Then it doesn't meet, you know, something that would say shoot such and such.
Right. Yeah. It doesn't say shoot, stab, kill.
But if you're using the words that someone put on bullets at a crime scene, it would seem that's pretty obviously talking about a violent act.
Yeah. There was a report out in the same ABC report I was mentioning before. They were talking about how people are using some of this money from the sales and people are reaching out actively to help fund Luigi's defense. It is very interesting that we have gotten to a point in this country where it is not in the past 3 or 4 years now, I can think of at least two, probably plenty more, where people have said this person is directly connected to a death of somebody else. And I have decided I support that person because that death to me is justifiable. That's a weird place to be. Right now, it's people saying, oh, Luigi shot that guy. You know how many deaths that guy was for before this? Kyle Rittenhouse, he killed people, but he was defending himself. Or the George Floyd stuff. They put it was drugs. He deserved to die. We're at a very weird place where people are stepping up going, that's the kind of person I want to support.
Well, in this case, makes it different than what you're talking about.
I agree. It's very different.
We're talking about a policy issue that you would want to change through law, legislation, work through lawmakers. And I understand the criticism of the health insurance industry. There are reports that say that United Healthcare had the highest denial of claims, somewhere around 35% or so denial of claims. And people are trying to say, look, how many people either went bankrupt or are suffering or can't get the treatment they need or died because of the health care that they got? And the answer is not to kill somebody.
Never.
Shouldn't be. And yet, I will say, and I said this earlier in the show, our lawmakers should be paying attention. Because when you have people that find themselves sympathetic or empathetic, however you want to say it, to someone who does something like this, it shows a level of anger that people have with something. And we would want to work on that and fix a problem as opposed to allowing this kind of lawless and anti-hero worship, which is incredibly disturbing.
Right.
It's very disturbing, yet it's out there, and people are like, people that I know are reasonable, rational people who will say, I get it, violence isn't the answer, but
I hear that all the time. It's really crazy.
And so can something be done to make the situation better from a terrible act? I would hate to think that we have to say that people only act after a terrible thing happens.
And also, I think when they're at at a dead end, they feel like there's no other option. If you think about that with like healthcare, if you have a bad experience, say we find out that's exactly what it was, a bad personal experience, he felt like he had no other options, and this is what he decided to do. All we need to do is provide another path that maybe leads to change, and maybe that's what he takes. Other people too down the road, like, oh, here's a plan that could help fix healthcare. Here's a plan that could help fix other things. But I think a lot of people just feel like this government's not doing anything for us.
Right. And they're not when it comes to this. I mean, it seems like we get these other issues that they want to have continue so they can continue to use it so that we all scream and fight, against each other over these other issues that don't affect us as much as something like healthcare would. And let's be honest, most lawmakers have very, very good health insurance plans. Nothing like the ones that we have, where we are paying more and more money. We are having higher and higher deductibles and co-pays and maximum out of pockets. And it's insane. You have networks and out of networks, and you can go to a place that's in network, but a doctor isn't. We've had that happen, which is crazy. It's insane. Right. Some of the stuff people have to deal with. Try and get a cost estimate before you go in. People go, oh, you need to shop around. It's not that easy. Believe me, I've been through enough of the system to know that I've had to find it out through lots and lots of sheer legwork and determination, and also having to pay some pretty big bills along the way.
And people who do have insurance, this is another issue where a lot of people don't fully understand insurance. I did a deep dive because I felt very confused about a lot of this. And what I kind of found out is something people find out the hard way. Something happens and they find out, my insurance I've been paying for really sucks. It doesn't do it. I have to pay how much money before they'll cover anything?
Yeah. If you don't have to see a lot of New York Times had that story that said, like, Americans love their health insurance. And then in the story, it was about until they have to use it. So until they have to use it can be very, very frustrating. And people will either, your medication is incredibly expensive, or your surgery after you have to pay out of pocket is going to put you way behind the eight ball. Or someone says, we need to do these imaging tests. And then you find out, I don't have that kind of money that you have to pay out of pocket because, you have a deductible that you have to meet before they start kicking in. So I'll say this. It's a great thing to have if you have a huge
catastrophic
something or other. Look, it's not that it still won't break you, but you'll still pay, you're still going to pay out the nose, but the bill would be so astronomical if you didn't. I mean, think about chemo, surgery. Thank God, it sounds terrible to say, thank God I had cancer when I had complete coverage. Because 17 years ago, I was able to just do the one copay and all my chemo was covered. Now, if I had it, I'd have to pay a percentage of every single chemo that I had to go through.
In addition
to the radiation that followed for me and then the multiple surgeries that I had. So it's what I had then. If I had it now, I would have to pay so much more. And so there's a problem with health insurance and it needs to be fixed. It doesn't need to be repealed. And people don't need to be put into high-risk pools. That's nonsense, folks. That's going backwards. Your kids who are in college should still be covered to 26. I love it. I still get texts from people who go, you're an adult at 26. You should be able to do it yourself. Not if your kid's in college. If your kid's in college, they don't have the time to get a full-time job with health insurance. Not every kid's going to college. I get that. There's a reason why we did it up until that age.
Yeah.
So I think we need to retalk the entire healthcare situation. And I hope that our lawmakers pay attention, because when you see something disturbing like this, which is empathy for a killer, which is mind-boggling to me, it shows that there's a level of anger that people are willing to say the ends justify the means, as opposed to actual action being done to fix the issue.
There's also this, there's a lot of people out there, when you say, like, you know, thank God I had cancer when I did because it was fully covered. There are people who will definitely say, well, aren't you special? You know, because they get burned and they feel like what you got was some sort of entitlement that they didn't. And how is that fair? It's like, think about what we're arguing about here.
Right.
Think about this, too. One of the first things you do when you go to a doctor, sometimes every time, or maybe it's just your first visit, they give you a document that should clearly say, we're covering our ass here. We want to make sure you're going to pay your bill. And the insurance companies know they're going to get their money.
Right.
Nobody's covering us.
Right.
No one is looking out for us. There's no document that is signed that I go in and say, I want you to sign this. It says, if I need like major help immediately, that you'll just pick up the tab and help me pay the bills because it could save my life.
Right.
That's an assumed thing, but financially, they might just step out of the way.
Right.
It's horrible.
And someone goes, what was the point of the Affordable Care Act? The Affordable Care Act was a starting point. And unfortunately, it didn't. What happened is it's still a for-profit business for people. Think about this. In the world, in the United States, I get it. We're a capitalist society. There's one thing that I believe should not be, and that is a company making money off the backs of sick people. That's what denial of claims gets you more money. There's something wrong with that. So I am all for, and I've always been for, Medicare for all. And I always will be. I understand it's going to cost people more in taxes, but how much of paychecks are already going towards people's health insurance? But it was a start, because you know what? It didn't allow you to be denied because you had a pre-existing condition.
Mm-hmm.
It allowed you to also be covered for certain preventative services, which I think are incredibly important. I shouldn't have to be put in a high-risk pool, nor my kids, because of a genetic factor that I have. And it also covers the kids at a time when you don't want them, when they're in school and they can't get coverage or a full-time job, that they don't have any coverage at all. This shouldn't happen either.
I know if you get to traffic, there is, you know, that question. Well, what was the purpose of Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act? From firsthand experience, losing my job in 2017, prior to Obamacare, I would have had the options of COBRA, where you pay like three times as much for the same coverage temporarily. It gave me the option to call around to places and ask how much it would cost. It gave me an easier opportunity. I think you could have always done that, but it was never easy. It was very easy to try to find it. The price sucked, no question, but I was able to get it, which was important for me and my family in that moment. That was a huge step forward.
Right. And it does help people who are, you know, struggling by helping to supplement so that they can get it at a more affordable cost. Someone says, stop calling it healthcare. It's health insurance. You're right. Care doesn't enter into their business model, says another. Somebody else said, one of my friends used to work with, they were coming up with Obamacare, used to always say, well, you don't have health insurance, but you got your guns.
And as a follow up, you said a really good point there. I was making better money where I was. I didn't qualify for any subsidies, which was a kick in the, you know.
Right.
But at the same time, OK, I could handle it. Yeah. If you make less, you get money.
Yeah. They get
off
towards
of that.
Right.
So there were a few benefits that really made it easier. Not perfect, but easier.
Right. All right. So we've been talking about insurance companies.
Such a
health
frustrating
insurance. People are like, stop saying healthcare. It's health insurance company.
health-related bill management.
Right. Look, we've got people checking in, talking about health insurance. And I wanted to find the one text, but it went into a couple of a number of threads. It's really hard if you don't keep it into one for us to follow it. But somebody was basically saying, we have tried to talk to our government leaders about this. Years of and decades of complaining got us nowhere. Now, three words on three bullets have gotten people talking about it. We don't want it to get to levels like that, right? Where somebody is killed and people go, well, yeah, it's a problem. No. I get it, though, the frustration that you have with the system, but we don't become vigilantes. And
no.
Because that's a slippery slope. Look, when the abortion issue, obviously for decades and decades, it's changed recently, but there were people who honestly believed that the answer was killing an abortion doctor. Remember, it happened.
Well, yeah, like violent protests were a thing.
So if you don't like the way things are going, the answer for you in one situation may be that, which I don't agree with. But the slippery slope is somebody else says, I don't like the way this is going. Rather than actually try to go to lawmakers or build a coalition and get something done, I'm going to take it into my own hands. Before you know it, we're going to be like Russia or some other country where people fall out of windows, or we don't, whether it's on a government stage or, you know, vigilantism and revenge and retribution from politicians, which we've heard them talk about. Which is scary. Is it weird for us to think now that we have everyday people possibly cheering on the murder of someone because they don't agree with what that person stood for, when we have people that are leaders who have talked about revenge and retribution?
Yeah,
this is the dangerous ground that we're on now.
I think I really think in this situation, what message does it send if all of a sudden, you know, everyone goes back to Washington, they start working on ways to fix health insurance? So something like this doesn't happen again, and the grievances this guy, Luigi, the shooter, had, they get addressed. What message does it send to the person who goes, I can't believe how much it costs to heat my home? It's like, we shouldn't be negotiating. This should not be the flare gun shooting up going, this person died, now let's talk about
because
this.
Because eventually it comes back and maybe bites you. Or whatever your business is in. I mean, this is not the way that we handle things. That is going back to the, if you want to go back to the old days where you round them up on your own, right? It's a lawlessness that will only lead to a further decay of society.
Look, ironically, Nancy, I think you look back and you say, you know, round up this group, round up that group. At points, you're going to find somebody who didn't do anything, but they think he did. Witch hunts.
Yeah,
remember that whole
bad.
Thing?
The college football playoffs, we know who's going to be in them. A reminder, Penn State's Nittany Lions will be playing SMU, and that's on Saturday, December 21st. It's a noon kickoff.
It's a whiteout.
It's exciting because it's at Beaver Stadium, and is this the first play? There haven't been playoffs like this. So the first one ever at Beaver Stadium. So a lot of excitement for folks going to the game. But there's a story out there talking about how the college football playoff director is infuriated because there was a leak, and it was a leak that literally meant a minute before the decision was announced. It got out there, and this executive director, Rich Clark, was really unhappy before their official CFP announcement on Sunday. So a minute before the Selection Sunday show began on ESPN, Brett McMurphy of the Action Network tweeted, SMU is in at CFB playoff and Alabama is out. It wasn't until 30 minutes into the show, ESPN revealed the bracket. McMurphy, a veteran sports writer, worked at ESPN and CBSSports.com, among other places. So I'm looking at this story on CBS Sports. It's believed to be the first time in the 11-year history of the CFP that a portion of the bracket was revealed before the official announcement. So it was a minute prior to the show, but the show itself didn't announce this until 30 minutes in. However, it was out on social media. So This guy was not happy and said, we don't know what happened. We addressed it with our staff. We spoke with committee members to remind everyone of their commitment to keep the rankings closely held until they are actually revealed. So they're trying to find out where the leak originated. We asked some questions, but no. There's a couple of different groups it could come from. ESPN, it could have been. It could have been one of our committee members. It could have been one of our staff members. The only person who I know it wasn't was me. So that's what we think you'd say, right? Crazy. That was a big, big story. That was the biggest story out of the bracket because SMU pushed out Alabama. And that was like kind of up in the air.
And Alabama is, you know, in recent times, kind of like college football royalty. Ohio State gets that. Like, we treat them with kid gloves. Everyone expected that to happen when it didn't.
Don't know who did it, but whoever did it, you know who you are, but you were wrong, said Clark. You betrayed the whole group in the process. It was a hard conversation, but I did that with everyone, right? Who knows?
Did you see the other story that's out there? It's really insane. And I don't have time, nor have I seen the 400-page manifesto, if you will, that Bill Belichick apparently provided to University of North Carolina.
Oh, really?
There was a rumor last week that Bill Belichick was talking to University of North Carolina to coach their football team. And people were like, why would he do that? Well, apparently he did it because they were, willing to listen to his plan for how he would, the conditions under which he would be willing
And it was how many pages?
They say it's 400 pages of, what? I want this kind of control and I want this kind of control.
Oh, my God.
And if they don't agree to it, he's just like, all right, we'll take the job. That's what the rumor is, though no one's really confirming it. There are rumors he might accept the job today. But one of the conditions is...
It has nothing to do with the color of M&Ms.
No, okay. No. One of them would be this plan is one of the rules in there would be they have to promise, they have to guarantee that when Bill Belichick steps down, his son Steve becomes the new coach.
Oh, God.
Like, that's just like one of those crazy things.
Whoa.
Like that, think about that. And they're using examples, I guess, the Jaguars, their owner's son runs team analytics. Mm-hmm. So what's the difference? He's grooming his son to run things
someday. I get it if you want him to be by your side doing stuff, but I don't think you should be able to hold someone to, he has to be the heir apparent. But again, if you're Bill Belichick, you probably can kind of make those demands, can't you? If they really want you.
I'm not saying he's the devil, but it's like signing a deal with the devil. On one hand, you know, it's bad, probably, for your program. But on the other hand, think back to the last time you uttered the words University of North Carolina football.
Right.
It's never been said. I don't think their own football players. They just go, yeah, we play a sport.
This is kind of one of those things where you go, well, I don't really need this job. I don't even know if I want it, but I will take it if I can get A, B, C, D, all the way down through Z.
And in this case, then 1 through 3,412. Oh, Joe Snedeker's here again, Storm Tracker 16 meteorologist.
No, wait a minute. You just said I love the song, so you're being sarcastic now because you never even heard it.
I heard it last hour. I'm trying to avoid the awkwardness of last hour.
He had heard about Mr. Roboto. He knew that one, but for some reason this one.
Oh, you knew that one.
Yeah, this one just missed him.
Yeah. It happened.
Record high today, one of the warmest days, 64 in 1979, and that was the big hit on the radio. I think everyone likes to go back to previous Christmases to just, I was blank in life, and I was here, and I was there. So that was the song you may remember from Christmas 1979. Let's see, I was probably in 7th or 8th grade, I guess. That was my status in life. How about you, Nance? Same thing?
Yeah. So, well, I think I'm a year behind you, but it was definitely the song that the ladies, the young ladies at the time, we would want to go out and slow dance at the church dance together with the guys.
Oh, see, Jason, what you missed.
Well, I was a 5-year-old in first grade. I shouldn't have been there. Right. I was in over my head already in first grade. I should have been in kindergarten. So that's why I had no time for all your rock and roll music.
Gotcha. At the skating rink, I think I showed you guys this before, they'd have the boys on one side, girls on the other, and then the girls would go to the boy's side and randomly pick a boy, and then you do a couple laps. So I kind of remember doing a little of that to that song.
Isn't it sad that the women, the young women had to go and be the assertive ones?
That's all I remember. Maybe it was a backlash against you know, we don't have the guys pick. Let's give some power to the ladies. Maybe it was the beginning of the woman movement.
I don't know. All I know is at the dance that we used to go to, and it was at a church, it would take, like, if the dance was 2.5 hours, it would take till 2 hours in that people started to dance. Because it, like, to break the ice. And then by the time everyone was, like, having fun, it was like, oh, it's over now.
Yeah, high school dances and middle school dances were like really bad weddings where it's like nobody's having fun.
Until somebody breaks the ice, then everyone has fun and then it's over.
Yeah. And in that situation, Joe, there's probably a couple guys who are like, I'd rather hang out with you anyway. Screw them. They don't want to pick us. Fine. They're lost. It's like, oh. Because it couldn't have been girls picking every guy. There had to be guys left over.
Yeah, usually.
I guess.
Poor guys.
All those forced formal events, I have no need for any of them. But like I said, I never wanted to be invited to a wedding again for the rest of my life.
It's all because of that. Because
you love love.
No, it's just, it's, oh, no.
I know.
We need an express wedding or just more fun. They have to reboot these things. I guess I'm going to my niece's wedding this spring coming up, and it's in Florida, so I think they're doing, like, these destination things now, which is great. You know, you just go somewhere, and you just have some fun, and you come back. So
nice.
No drawn-out affair, but we'll see. All right, here we go. Today, it's not 19-79, but it's going to be mild. We're not going to break a record. Into the upper 50s to near 60 today, but an all-day rain. Woo, baby! The rain will start to mix with some wet snow about 5, 6, 7 o'clock, but it will melt on roads for the most part, an inch or two. It's going to get cold and windy tonight, back down to the 20s. Now, tomorrow, and really for the next 4 days, mainly quiet weather. We have to thank the universe for this. It's pretty quiet this time of the year. Could be wicked. So on Thursday, only near 34, partly sunny, windy, a flurry. Friday, nice and sunny. Low to mid-30s, but in the morning on Friday, it's going to be in the teens. And then the weekend, quiet. Saturday, 36. And then Sunday, maybe some rain showers, maybe a wet flake late Sunday. So outdoor plans are a go this weekend. And what's the 14th and 15th? We have a full moon this weekend. And then next weekend, I guess you can call, do you want to call it Christmas weekend? Next weekend is the 21st and the 22nd. And then Monday is the day before Christmas Eve, and then Tuesday is Christmas Eve, and then Wednesday is Christmas Day. It's going to be go, go, go.
Woo. Speaking of go, 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 Joe, we got to go, go, go. We got something we got to get to, but
we're going to play some Elton Johnny singing, so how about that?
Rock on, baby.
It's December the 11th, a National App Day. I don't know what you want to do with that.
I'd love to take a nap. Oh, app.
App Day. All right. On this day in history, Britain's King Edward VIII abdicated the throne and married American divorcee Wallace Warfield Simpson, saying he had to be with the woman I love.
Give up everything.
1941, 4 days after the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor, Germany and Italy declare war on the United States. The U.S. responds by declaring war on them in return. On this date, 1951, Joe DiMaggio announced his retirement from baseball. On this date, 1980, guess what? Magnum P.I. premiered on CBS. Remember Tom Selleck?
I know that guy with the stash.
On this date, 1981, Muhammad Ali fought his 61st and final fight. He lost to Trevor Burbick. Ended his career with a 56-5 record. On this date in 2009, Tiger Woods announced a leave from golf in order to focus on his marriage. Later, ended up with the divorce. Was that after the whole golf club?
Yeah, he wanted to focus on his marriage after not focusing on anybody.
Yes,
in his marriage.
Yeah, that's true. And things never really got better for him since then. 2015, Playboy publishes its last nude issue, the magazine featuring Pamela Anderson on the cover. That's what happened on this day.
By the way, I literally on the spot said Magnum P.I. Never, I didn't really watch that show. Magnum P.I. is like a cop or something. And I stopped and went, no, P.I. He's a private investigator.
Yeah.
Never made that connection before. A stupid learning moment live.
Stupid learning here.
Who pays attention to words?
All right.
Not this guy, apparently.
It's 8:57 at WILK. A little game for you.
It's the celebrity birthday game.
There's someone at this time of the year we hear a lot of.
Santa.
It's Brenda Lee's birthday. You know, rocking around the Christmas tree.
Yes, yes. Brenda Lee, she's got to be up there. I'm going to say Brenda Lee's probably 80.
80.
Really?
Right on the nose. Good for you. Also, someone who's been around a long time. This is disputed. I could see why. She was in soap operas. Donna Mills, Knott's Landing.
I remember.
It's disputed, so you could be.
That she was in Knott's Landing or her age. I don't think it was that lady. She is 78.
84. Okay. Actress, singer, also EGOT winner, Oscar for West Side Story, Emmy for The Electric Company, Tony for The Ritz, and a Grammy for recording of The Electric Company, Rita Moreno.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Actress, singer.
She's 85.
She's 93.
Well, she looks great, too, for 93.
Yeah. John Kerry, Secretary of State at one time, 2004 Democratic presidential nominee. How old is he?
John Kerry is, he's going to be 75.
81.
Wow, look at that.
More older than you thought. Yeah. Nikki Sixx, bassist for Motley Crue.
65.
66, so very close. Yeah.
Nikki Sixx is 66, 666. That means the year of the devil for him.
Mm.
Good luck, sir.
Jermaine Jackson. Member of the Jackson 5.
Oh, that Jackson.
Yeah.
I was thinking somebody. No, Jermaine Jackson, he's this is 71.
70. So look, you didn't do so bad today. If it's your birthday today, happy birthday on this December 11th. If it's your anniversary, we wish you a very happy anniversary. Often thought this would be a nice time of the year to get married if you're doing a church wedding. Usually the church would already be decorated. Yeah. I've been in churches that really do with all the poinsettias and the beautiful lights. Sometimes there's a tree all lit up and then you don't have to spend all that money. I thought, perfect wedding time.
Why were your colors
trying to be
green
thrifty,
and red?
Right?
Well, because that's the way it was.
I haven't thought that would be great. The church is already lovely decorated just for your wedding.
If you look at the cost of flowers, it makes a lot of sense.
Right? I thought so.
Minus having to wear like thermal tuxedos if it's cold
out.
You
don't need to wear thermal tuxedos. And I always thought wedding dresses with a nice like fur, like shawl-y kind of cape thing over it would be pretty.
Like
why not?
The movie, like the
I
movie
got
Frozen?
Married in June, so what do I know? But I thought that would be a really nice time because it's already all dressed up and decorated for you.
There are no thermal tuxedos, by the way.